BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Maverick.
We are able.
Uh-huh. Trailblazer.
Right. That's what I mean.
Nonconformist.
Amen.
Revolutionary. Rebel.
This is Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers from BBC Radio 2.
Hello, everybody. I'm Michelle Visage, and welcome. I'm so excited about my brand new podcast called Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers. Now, what we're going to be doing here is we'll be going deep with some of my favorite divas, my favorite rebels, misfits, and true originals, people who have broken the rules to change their world or stood up for what they believe in and forged their own path in life. Those are the people I like to talk to. Now, listen, I have my own relationship with rules. I don't know how everybody feels out there, but for me, rules have always been made to be broken. I've always been, you know, drawn to or gravitated towards people with a strong rebel streak. For me, I was never handed anything in life, and I'm not here to play the world's smallest violin. I'm here just to tell you, I had a lot of people in my world, in my life, tell me that I'd never make it, or why I couldn't make it, you know, what I didn't have, instead of trying to like focus on what I could do or what I could make. So this is why I wanted to do this podcast, to talk about how people got to where they are when things weren't handed to them. So each week, I'll be joined by an incredible guest who inspires us to do things differently. So if you're looking for the kick up the butt that you've always needed, some inspiration and a chance to laugh or perhaps even cry with us, then sit back and listen close, because you've come to the right place. Today, our guest is an inspiration for many, but for me in particular, let me tell you why. She's an actress, she's a model, she's an author, businesswoman, and a new friend, and her phone is on, and that's even better. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. I love that. That's what the reality is of life. She is the star of so many movies, and what I love about her is I've been a fan of hers, and I'm talking about the amazing Cameron Diaz. She's a movie star who I'd sit and I'd watch. And I'd say, I can be friends with that girl. And I only hope that if I ever got a chance to meet her, she'd be that cool and that down to earth. And I'm telling you, for anybody who's listening right now, Cameron is exactly what you see and exactly what you'd hope she'd be like. And I don't know how you do that in Hollywood, Cameron, but you have this innate ability to just be real, even though you've played a million different characters. How do you stay down to earth, stay grounded?
I thank you for those words. I appreciate it. That is something I do, you know, hope to be, is just my, you know, myself, and to connect with people like a real human being, because guess what I am? I'm a real human being.
Exactly.
You know, and so I've just, I just am who I am. I approach everyone where I feel like I want to be met, you know, with respect and equity. And, you know, here we all are. What are we talking about? We're both human, you know? And so I don't know. I just like to connect with people on the most real level that I can.
Not easy, especially in Hollywood, as you know.
No, it's not.
So many people, and I watch this from the outside, but you are fully in on the inside. But even sitting watching and not knowing, even like years and years ago, I'd watch and go, wow, that person seems really affected by fame and their job, which, you know, our job in the entertainment world is actually just a more visible job. Like, we're just doing a job. It just happens to be in the public eye.
Right.
Am I correct?
Right. Yeah. It's a funny thing, because I think the main thing about fame that people don't understand is fame is very infantilizing.
Yes.
Right? It's very much about keeping somebody coddled in a state of like, you know, we see a little child and we're like, oh, it's so cute. I want it to always be cute.
Yes.
And if I keep it cute by just, you know, always treating it cute, maybe it'll stay cute forever.
I never even thought about that.
And it's like, that's how people treat you. They treat you like, oh, wait, you're so precious that you can't do anything for yourself. Everything should be done for you. And it's very infantilizing. It very much takes away from your own sense of autonomy and ability to like take care of yourself. All of a sudden who you are, your fame becomes a part of you. It gets attached to you. And that's like a trap that a lot of people, I think it's easy to fall into because, you know, all of a sudden these big pieces of your life that are very complicated, get sort of taken on for you so that you can do the one thing that you do all the time is just be cute, right? Or be like,
wow.
take that fame and put it out into the world. And that's your value. You know, and that's been something that I've noticed really about, you know, being famous is that everybody wants to kind of like take parts of you away from you so that because they think that that's what they're supposed to do. And it's been my ongoing, like, you know, from day one was always like, I can do it myself. I'm actually okay. I'm totally capable of doing it myself. Thank you so much. And there's certain places where you have to let people do it because, you know, on a set, everybody's a piece, right? In the cog of the machine. Everybody's
right.
Got like a function to make the machine go, right? And so everybody does their job and they have a specific time to do it. And we're sort of a well-oiled machine. Well, actors just have to be ready to be on screen, which is different than moving lights and lamps and, you know, and scenery, right? It's different. Your hair and makeup have to be ready. You have to be prepared with your lines. You have to be able to step in and emotionally deliver something. So here I am in an environment where everybody's creating, you know, a space for me to do what I do. And it's easy to think that it's about you and not just about what your function is in the overall picture that everybody's trying to create together. It can be very confusing, especially if, you know, a lot of people in Hollywood, actors, musicians, they're broken people, they're damaged, they're looking for validation, the objectification feels good to them, like all of the things that are, you know, that come with being in this position, you know, those things are really enticing to a lot of people. It feels good. It does make them feel valuable. It does give them a sense of themselves.
It's,
you know,
that payoff, Cameron. Like, they are never going to venture out of that bubble and learn how to be self-sufficient and grow because they were kind of conditioned not to. So that makes such sense to me. And I never thought about it that way.
Not only is it infantilizing, when you get infantilized, you get arrested, developmentally arrested as well.
Yeah.
So you're like a child having to build those skill sets. And why would you? Because you do have all those people that do that for you. So why wouldn't you just let them do it?
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
Rule Breakers. Rule Breakers.
But even the fact that you were like, you know what, I've had enough. I'm going to step back away from movies right now and focus on what matters to me, which is my life, you know, my family. Mm-hmm. That is like when I read that or heard that it was announced, whatever, it was like applause because so many people, Cameron, in Hollywood cannot tear themselves away from that spotlight.
I know.
And what the best part of all that, of what you're saying is it was by your rules. You know, breaking the rules. This is not what Hollywood does. You said, I am ready to check out. You did it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take away anything from your body of work, from who you are. Actually, it's only made it better. And I've always loved that you lived kind of authentically and cleanly instead of, again, like I got sucked into getting the implants that made me sick and had to end up, you know, taking them out. Like all of that. You were able to bypass all of that. And I don't know if it's because you grew up in San Diego, but you were a model. So
I actually grew up in Long Beach.
Long Beach. Oh, right. You went to school with Snoop, didn't you?
That's right.
Yes!
I was so proud at the Super Bowl, by the way.
Amazing.
Like, this is just like, I was feeling like, yeah, it was great.
Same.
But
how did you bypass
it? But I didn't. Like I am absolutely a victim of all of the societal, you know, objectifications that women, you know, and exploitations that women, you know, are subjected to. I have bought into all of them myself, you know, at certain times. It's hard not to. It's hard not to sort of like look at yourself and judge yourself against other sort of markers of beauty, you know? And I think that that's one of the biggest things in the last 8 years, girl.
Right.
I'm like, wild. Like, I'm like a wild animal, like a beast.
I love that though.
And I don't care. Like, I literally, the last thing I think about on a daily basis, like maybe not at all during the day, like what I look like.
But how do we get there? How do people get there, Cameron? Like, how do they get
to
that
point? Well, you stop looking in the mirror. Right. You stop taking pictures and selfies of yourself. I mean, as an actor, I sit in front of a mirror probably 7 hours out of the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Between all the checks and the, you know, the morning getting ready for a couple hours and this, and then all the checks in the mirror and the mirror and the mirror and after lunch and blah, blah, blah. And you're just sitting in front of the mirror and it's like, it's toxic. You just start to pick yourself apart, you know? And you're like, why am I sitting here like being so mean to myself? My body's strong. My body's capable.
Right.
Like, why am I going to talk down to it? Why am I going to be mean to it when it's like carried me this far? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. given me this much experience, all the things that I've gotten to do because my body has taken me and been, you know, strong enough to get me there. You know, why am I going to abuse it? Why am I going to be mean to it? And it's not to say that I haven't done those things, but when I'm in there and I'm like, wait a second, okay, right. Like, let's really think about this, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm going to be 50 this year. So
yes!
I have like, you know what I mean? Like I know this is so exciting. I can't wait to be 50.
I
know?
Love
but
that.
It's so great because you just know more. You're just
like, honestly,
I've done so much. I know so like, I've already been there.
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
Rule Breakers.
What we're talking about is vanity and getting over the vanity aspect of life and mm-hmm. realizing. And when we're in our 20s, vanity and our teens, vanity, especially for women, is key. And yeah. that's what we live by. And you're talking about kind of usurping and growing and putting mm-hmm. that behind you. And it takes a lot to do that, especially with social media in our face these days. But you yeah. started out, ironically, as a model. So I can't yeah. think of anything more vain than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing about modeling for me was it was just a way out of Long Beach. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have any other like avenues out. You know, I wasn't a good student. I didn't have great grades. My parents didn't have money to send me to college. I wasn't going to get a scholarship.
Right. Same.
Yeah.
But then I think you signed with Elite, didn't you?
I did.
I mean,
did.
That's major.
And so when, yeah, I was fortunate enough. There was a photographer, you know, the story's like one of those like very typical like girl in a club people, you know, being offered, you know, the opportunity to model kind of thing. And there was just like one person who was actually legit who, you know, who gave me his card, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Dunis, who's a phenomenal photographer. And he's just like such a good human being. And I just fell into his hands, which was really fortunate in all the yeah. hands that I could have
exactly.
fallen into.
Yeah.
And you know, he was like, have your parents call me. And I, that's me personally. I had a bunch of other people give me cards going, hey, you want to be a model?
Right.
You know? And
right.
I was like, yeah, thanks. You know, and throw it over my shoulder. Yeah. No, thank you. I don't need you.
Everybody should be suspicious when that happens,
yeah,
by the way.
Always, yes. Always. This guy was like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 16. He was like, okay, have your parents call me.
Great.
You know? And so I was like, okay. So I told my parents, this gentleman said to call him and they did. And Jeff hooked me up with Elite. But for me, it wasn't about what I look like because, you know, again, modeling is a job, right? You have to deliver something. Pretty girls are pretty, but there's so many pretty girls. What person delivers what is needed in the moment, right? So I wasn't a high-end, like, editorial girl. I didn't understand that language. I wasn't, like, I was starting modeling at the same time, like, when it was all the supermodels, right? So it was, like, ugh. Kate Moss was, like, huge.
Right.
And, you know, Christy Turlington and, you know, Naomi Campbell and all those beautiful women that just did something that I didn't do. Like,
right.
I was just, like, a catalog girl who could be, like, hit the mark and be, like, you know, like smile right at the right time.
Right.
You're like, the laugh, and you know, like, so, you know, it was like very, you know, it was very specific work. Right. So, and I took pride in that I could deliver those things and that I worked hard and I could get as many shots off as they needed. And we were hustling and we're doing it. And if I had to change in the car, like, you know, in a tube in the middle of downtown, great. Or like whatever it was, like I'll climb under a truck to like get changed, you know?
Right, right.
You know, like I would just do what needed to be done to get things done. And I felt like a sense of pride of that, you know, that work ethic. Right. And so I feel like that's what modeling was for me. It wasn't like about that I was a pretty girl, because I went into castings with thousands of pretty girls. And there was a lot of times that I never got the job, right? Uh-huh. So like if it's a beauty contest, you know, you're always going to lose. There's always going to be somebody else who's more beautiful than you, right? Right? But if you can find sort of like the thing that you do, that you can, you know, execute and have that be of value for yourself and for the people who hire you, then you can have a career, then you can make a living, you know, if that's, that was what was important to me, not that I was like the prettiest girl in the room.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hello, I'm Jamie Lang.
And I'm Spencer Matthews. And we're here to tell you about our podcast, where our mission is to reach a celebrity and find new friends. It's like Pass the Parcel with no parcels, just friends of friends.
We are living proof that you don't need an address book the size of Mount Everest to do a podcast like this. You just need some well-connected celebs.
Let's call Rihanna.
Tyson Fury.
Daniel Craig.
Bear Grylls.
Who do you think we will snatch next?
6 Degrees from Jamie and Spencer.
Only on BBC Sounds.
So you did this to get out of Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. From what I hear, you didn't have a lot growing up. You made do. You were fine, but you didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
Nothing handed to you, not unlike myself. Mm-hmm. So I relate. When was the first time you broke a rule? Was it a big one? Was it a small one? To get what you wanted. Do you remember?
I'm very compliant.
Are you a compliant person? But I don't know, because you still, you know, you went from doing this really kind of, I'm pretty compliant too. But when I say like lied on resumes, or your first movie, I think you went, had no acting experience and you went to star with Jim Carrey in The Mask. How does one,
I have no idea.
Okay. So there was
I'll tell you what this is.
Okay.
This is kind of one of my rules for myself.
Okay.
Is intention is everything.
Yes.
Intention is everything.
Like, I agree.
What sits right in my soul, right?
Right.
What is the thing that, like, when I think of this moment and how I'm participating in it, what is it that I want out of it? Okay. So when I went to read for The Mask, like, I'm just being a compliant model and going on the casting that I got sent out on. And I'm not really looking to be an actress, but I'll go and do what they ask me to do because, you know, this is what I do. Like, I'm just going to go try to get the job. If it's something that works out, great. If it doesn't. And I had read for a part that was a smaller part than the lead. And then the director, Chuck Russell, asked me to come back and read for the main part. And I was just kind of like, you know, that day I started my period.
Right. It's one of those days.
Like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I went to read for the part of the reporter, because I could wear jeans and like a jacket.
All right.
And they wanted me to come in all sexy for the Tina Carlisle part. And I went back in and I read, and I just had so much fun. I was living in Paris, actually, and modeling there, even though I didn't work one day in Paris. I lived there a year. Like, I could not get a job. It was like, I was living off of all of my commercials that I had done in LA. I was living off of all my money I made in Los Angeles. But I went back to Paris, and then I got like the call where it was like down to me and like two other people. And they
Do you know
me
who it was?
Back. Anna Nicole Smith.
You are lying.
They wanted... That was who was originally meant to play the part. I know. Chuck Russell, the director, was just really, he was like, you're my Tina and I'm going to make this work. As soon as I did The Mask, I was like, you know, this is a team effort. I love being on a team. I just love like being a part of the camaraderie and having everybody, you know, like, let's do it. Modeling, you would work with, you know, somebody and never see them again. You know, when we did The Mask, it was like, we are our family. We're in this. Like, it was so bonding. But it wasn't about being on the screen. It wasn't about being an actress or, you know, being famous. It was just about like the experience of making movies, you know, and I just wanted to have that more, you know, again and again and again.
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
If you didn't break any rules and you're compliant, do you remember following any rules that you regret, that you go, I wish I didn't?
I mean, I also look at rules as like, what kind of rules? Like societal rules or like literal rules? So like with Charlie's Angels, we were like, we want to be badass women. We don't want to carry guns. We want to like solve the crimes and have fun and like be girl power, right? That was like, that wasn't being done. Right. It was like the objectification of women in a certain way. We were like, we're going to do this differently. You know, anything where like a little bit of like Shrek to me was like, you know, the anti fairy tale, you know, like these, just these little like sort of through lines of things where I was slightly taking them away from the sort of normal or typical storylines that were being the narratives that were given to us as women. Now, I certainly didn't do as much as would I, you know, could be done now because of the awareness of everybody, you know, sort of like the Me Too, you know, there was still,
there
was still parameters. Like you didn't, you know, the 1990s, the early aughts, like there was still like heavy, heavy, you know, misogyny and, you know, just like the level of exploitation of, you know, powers was just, you know, it just laid on the entire industry, you
but
know?
But back and then, as a Cameron, woman, like as a woman, and I don't mean to cut you off, but the thought is for me, like back then I was involved with so much of it and didn't even know it was going on, right? It would just be like, ha, 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 and we didn't know, right?
No, it was the normal thing to do to sort of like, and just be able to get through unscathed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like be the one who participated enough,
right?
You know, to make everybody feel taken care of, but not to like be a victim.
Totally.
You know, like be, you know, in that position, but to like know how to like kind of navigate the whole thing because it was happening all day, every day, you know,
in all the
every little feeling and like, you know, of layers of existence, you know, it's a very different thing now, I think.
I agree completely. And it was a different time. We are in a different time right now. Thank God, especially for women. Yeah. Thank God we live in a time where now we can say, that's actually way out of line. Where back then you couldn't, because you would lose a job and you know how, and I'm not condoning it in any way. It's just the way that it was. But you are now focusing on the things that you want to focus on, because I'm not going to say things that you love, because you've loved what you've done. You've loved your life and everything that has gotten you to where you're not now. So do you have rules besides the obvious, the rules to a good marriage? Because you two are very strong.
Ben just taught me so much. You know,
I love that.
He's really taught me to value myself a lot more.
Love that.
Yeah.
And did you expect that? Did you expect that from your partner?
I didn't, because I think that I was receiving so much validation elsewhere in all these other ways. With our marriage, I learned how to really go all in. You know what I mean? Like really go completely, like nothing else comes before this.
I love that.
Like
so many
nothing
people
else.
Don't do that, Cameron.
Yeah. No, I know. It's really hard to do. Well, it's not hard to do when it's because it's the most valuable thing I have. You know what I mean? Like we both just go like, it doesn't matter. Like we know that no matter what, we could go, we can just go and be just a family anywhere and we're fine.
Right.
You know what I mean? We don't like need any of the things that we have,
right,
you know, other than each other. You know what I mean?
You married a mensch, Cameron.
I did. I married a mensch. He is just like, you know, he's just, I've been out there. You know, I know how hard it is to find. So like, you know, he's just the guy who I can totally count on. He's just hilarious and he's so funny. And, you know, he's the best dad ever. Aww. And, you know, he's just, you know, I could cry because Aww. He's just the best.
I love that love.
Yeah. So
it really is a beautiful thing. And you got to be lucky and you got to be open to find that. I think a lot of people will say, and it is so hard out there. You were just kind of touching on how hard it is out there. But if you can find somebody that can make you laugh, that you mm-hmm. can respect each other, you can have conversation, and you could know mm-hmm. that you'll be alone fine, just yourselves. I think that's a win right there.
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
Rule Breakers.
So rules on aging. Mm-hmm. How do you approach aging? Because Cameron, you look amazing and you look naturally amazing. And you're about
thank
to join
you.
The 50 Club.
Oh, man. I don't even know.
You were just born like that, I get, but.
No. I literally do nothing to, I like never wash my face. I have a billion products that I
never use
like
right.
twice a month right. if I'm lucky. Like I'll be like, oh, I better put this on. Like, and I'm like, one time works, right? Like, is that all I have to do? Like I'm just not in that place right now where like it's where I put any energy. I mean, for me, I just really want to like stay strong. That's really important. I do feel like 50 is different than 40.
Agreed.
But it doesn't have to be I'm trying to figure this out myself because I'm like, I have a young child, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm my child, the women who have children my age are like literally almost 20 years younger than
right.
me.
Right. I understand. You know what I mean? Yes. Like,
and so I'm like, oh, okay, or at least 15. And I'm like, oh, that's so, you know, it's very interesting. Like it's an interesting place to be because I'm not that age and that's totally okay. Like I didn't do it then, mm-hmm. you know, I'm doing it now. Mm-hmm. But I want to feel vital like that for my child, right? So I want to be able to be the mom who can run around and do all the like fun stuff with her and like be able to not have, you know, I want my energy to stay vital.
Right.
You know, I want to feel that way to her. I don't want her to feel like she has like an old mom. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter. She'll never look at me and see me young. She'll have never known me young. She'll have never known me as a 20, you know, 5-year-old or a 35-year-old or a 45-year-old.
Right.
She'll know me as a 55-year-old and she'll look at me and I don't want it to be about what I look like. I want to be about how it feels to her to have a mom, for me to be her mom,
aww.
Not a 55-year-old mom, but her mom, you know what I mean? And so that's where I'm at in aging because I'm just not where all my girlfriends who are my age, their kids are all like getting out, you know, are in high school or mm-hmm. going to college.
Yep.
And they, it's the opposite now. Like I used to be going over to my girlfriend's house and staying like the weekend and be like, you know, off for the night and
right.
come home and sleep in and like wake up and be like, what's up, fam? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and like, I'd be like, you guys want to come on a trip? And they'd be like, can't, you know,
yeah.
I have the kids. I'd be like, great. It's totally the opposite now.
100%.
All my girlfriends are taking naps in the middle of the day and like,
and you're making grilled cheese.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, so, and like, I'm like, I don't sleep. I just don't sleep.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, everybody else is like, we're going to go on a trip to, you know, here and there. Do you want to come with us? I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I was like, I've never been away from her more than this long and aww. This far away and I can't go. And, you know,
yeah.
So I'm just like in a different phase of life. But for me, for aging, like it's not, you know, even with my little one, like the last thing I worry about is what she looks like.
Yeah.
Like she's, you know, like matted hair.
I love it.
All over her face and her body. Like I won't brush her hair for days
right.
if she doesn't want me to, because like, what do I care?
Oh, honey, I remember
what
that fight,
like.
That
you know
argument.
I mean? Like, yeah. And by the way, we all have the scars of like getting our hair brushed.
Right.
When we're
exactly.
Kids. You know what I mean? Like there's definitely, everybody has that moment of trauma.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to do that to her. Like just do what I don't care.
Do you know what though? It sounds like you became a mom at the perfect time in your life for you. And I know I've seen the older moms. I'm not the youngest mom. I think I was 31 when I had my first, but, and there were definitely younger moms there, but there is that kind of school run thing where people look at you and you are going to get away with even being the older mom, even if you were the oldest mom, because you're Cameron Diaz, where some of us,
you know,
wouldn't get away with that, but it happened to you when it was meant to happen to you, babe. So this
is
marriage happened, your partner, your beautiful child, this is all happening at the right time.
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
So before, I've taken a lot of your time. I'm so appreciative of you talking to me about this. So before I let you go, what advice can you give to the kids out there, the rebels, the rule breakers in training, the ones that I'm trying to encourage people to break the rules, that it's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to follow. And we're not talking about the obvious legal ones. We're talking about the ones that say, well, you can't do that because you're too short or you can't do that. You know what I mean? What do you say to the future rule breakers about getting there?
You know, when you're young, everything is about this. Life is so painful because when you're in your 20s, what you're doing is that you're looking for validation from the outside world.
Yep.
Okay. So you're doing something and you're hoping that somebody likes it.
Yep.
Right. As you get older, you realize like it's not about the external validation. It's about the truth within yourself and who you are and being honoring that person and, you know, being okay with and comfortable with like all aspects of it, right? So the good, the bad, the ugly, right? That's a journey and you can't get there until you've taken that journey, right? But if you start validating yourself, if you start to like honor who you are from the inside and not worry about the outside, you'll be ahead of the game. So it's about like getting, if to break the rules, you have to know what's in those proverbial rules. It's not about like looking for the thing that needs to be broken. It's about like honoring the thing that you have to do. Like, you know, for yourself, within yourself is like vital for you to do, to feel whole.
The driving force.
Yeah. You know what? Your own sense of self. That's how you break the rules.
It's not easy for a kid to be conscious and present at all times. But
no, exactly.
You said earlier something I live my life by, and I want that to be heard one more time before we say goodbye, which is intention is everything. That's why things get so distorted a lot, like on Twitter, let's say, because you can't read intention. Intention needs to be felt. If you know somebody's their intention is pure, it diffuses and changes every situation and you believe them. And I think your intention has always been pure and you're just talking about being true to who you are and being authentically you. And I think that's where you have the upper hand on so many people. I hate to say it in showbiz, but it's true in Hollywood, because you are so authentically you. You are so much fun to watch. You're such an incredible person to be around. You just have incredible energy and that's why your success.
I feel the same way about you, Michelle. Aww. I really just love your energy and you're so authentic. We clicked right away. We're just like, yep, okay.
Yeah, that's it. And so like many people don't honor that. They don't honor that. And they just give you the line of, oh yeah, let's do lunch. And it never happens. Mm-hmm. But you were so much more than I'd hoped you'd be. And I hope everybody hearing this knows how incredible of a human being, wife, mother, friend, actor, and model too, Cameron. You're just amazing. Winemaker, wine stomper, all of it. You're just a wonderful philanthropist, if I could say the word. And I can't thank you enough for joining me here today, for giving.
Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you. Thank you for giving your time. And I wish you the best with everything. And I will see you very soon for that dinner
very
we talked
soon.
About.
Absolutely. When you get back here, we'll do it. ASAP.
Yes. Thank you, Cameron Diaz. We love you.
Thank you, Michelle. So, love ya.
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
Thank you so much to the amazing Cameron Diaz for such an honest, open conversation. I told you guys at the beginning that you would love her because she is so real, because she's so down to earth. And this is a mega A-list Hollywood movie star, and you never think that they're going to be on our plane. And this girl really, really is. And the funny thing is, she thinks of herself as compliant, not realizing how many rules that she's broken, how being non-compliant with the rest of the world, you know, when she came from, you know, Long Beach, where she grew up in California, to getting to the top of the ladder in Hollywood. You have to march to the beat of your own drum to get there. And that she did and continues to do. You saw, she basically pulled out of Hollywood and said, I'm done. I did what I came to do. That is admirable. We hope you're feeling so inspired from listening to Cameron Diaz. So join us next time when we'll be serving up more rebel wisdom and, of course, unending inspiration from one of our favorite rule breakers, just like Cameron Diaz. Listen first on BBC Sounds.
Michelle Visage's Rule Breakers.
So, when does the show start?
Series 4 is finally here.
How is Villanelle?
And we're obsessed with killing Eve.
Well, I killed 2 people last night after I tried really hard not to.
Okay.
Join me, Zing.
And me, Naomi.
As we analyze every episode and obsess over every single detail.
Hot takes, thoughts, fan theories.
And we'll be joined by special guests and celebrity fans.
You're gonna love it.
I want to sweep the chessboard off the table and set it on fire.
Obsessed with Killing Eve.
Download and subscribe now on BBC Sounds.